You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good,
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Teen Wolf After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Teen Wolf After Show.
Hello, AfterBuzzers. We're here during another AfterBuzz TV After Show for MTV's Teen Wolf Season 4, Episode 6, Orphaned. I'm your host, Kristen Elizabeth Snyder, and joining me, AfterBuzz TV host, June Lee.
Hi, everyone.
Our special guest this evening is Teen Wolf's production designer. Please welcome Rusty Smith.
Hi there.
Woo! Woo! This is the guy we owe all of the magic to.
Seriously, we do. The sets change every season. How do you keep up? They're fantastic. I know June asked you before we got started just what your favorite design was that you've done since the beginning of the show.
It's one that you haven't seen yet.
Yeah, I know. It's killing me.
It's coming up for the finale.
So. Wait, can we get a clue?
A little clue.
Is it in Beacon Hill?
Can we get colors?
Something.
I will give you a clue.
Okay.
You see it in the first episode.
Okay. That's good.
Wow.
I'll take that.
Episode of season 4. Sorry.
Okay, so we saw it already.
You've already seen it. A version of it already, yes.
But maybe it's Icon House. Have we seen Icon House?
I think, you know, maybe when they were in Mexico, right?
Getting hotter, and it was like
the old church and whatnot.
So we might be going back there.
Are you okay to tell us this?
He didn't tell us.
I didn't say anything. All I said was ding.
Okay. I just don't want Rusty to get fired because we need you forever on the show.
Jeff would never fire him.
That's an important piece
of the puzzle.
He really is.
I'm very excited because it's like an Indiana Jones set. Mm-hmm. And I love that. I love how this season's been like an adventure. And I was hoping we'd spend more time there. So I'm excited to hear that we're going back.
Yes.
Where did you get the Indiana Jones reference?
I mean, just like the tombs and the, it just reminded me of that.
Well, that's great. Because that's what we were doing.
That's your work that gave me that reference.
Yeah.
So that just speaks volumes about you. For you guys at home, that opening song was Coward by Hayden Callen. And I love Laura Webb. You know, she was here last week, the music supervisor, and all her music choices,
awesome.
Right?
The music is great.
I tweeted that song out earlier. It was great. It's on my playlist now. Thank you, Laura.
Yeah. How does Jeff get all of you amazing, amazing people to work on this show? Like, how did you come on to Teen Wolf?
I was working on another movie. I was working on a Little Rascals movie, and it was the same producers.
Oh, I love that.
And the producers, they were partners, and they won the, the tax credit. And all of a sudden, they had 100 days to go. And so I was on that project. I said, are you interested? I said, let me watch the show. And I told my kids about it. My kids are like, oh, Dad, you got to get that show. You got to do that. And
Thank you, kids.
And I watched the pilot, and I was hooked.
Nice.
So what season did you come on?
Third.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's only been there. Oh, yeah, that's why.
But it's been almost 2 years, and I've done 36 episodes.
Wow.
That's fantastic.
I've done more than any other production designer for Teen Wolf.
That's awesome.
So you're the only production designer I give credit to. There you go. So let's go ahead and start talking about the episode. Mm-hmm. Oh, I wanted to announce. I went to Comic-Con. I went to the Teen Wolf booth. It was amazing. And they announced that there's a season 5.
Yes, 20 episodes.
You'll be working a lot.
Yeah. The season that I did was the first time they had done 24.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And that was quite a journey.
I know. So are they going to do the same thing where they have
where they like take a break?
Like exactly. It'll be a part A and a part B or
perfect.
Two parts.
Yeah.
I think.
Very cool. I'm happy about that. And we also found out that Dylan Sprayberry is going to be a season regular. So I guess he's safe this season.
Yeah.
Because he's back. He's back next season.
And somebody else, right? One more. Wasn't there...
They said there will be new characters. I don't know that they announced another one. But also, someone asked what happened to Danny.
Yeah.
And Jeff said that we haven't seen the last of Danny.
Yeah.
So that's
good. Everybody was freaking out, I hear. Like, all of the actors were like, oh.
Yeah. And I went to the Teen Wolf booth on the exhibition floor, and I actually got to be transformed
into
a Teen Wolf.
Do you have a picture?
I tweeted the picture. Tweet it again after the show.
Great.
My eyes were red. I was doing a little claw.
Were you an alpha?
Yes.
How did they do that?
Of course.
We had, like, this photo booth set up. So you would take your photo on, like, the green screen. They'd put in a background, and then you'd do the after effects. You could pick weapons. You could pick, like, change your eye color.
That's
it was
so cool.
It was my favorite booth at Teen
Comic-Con.
Oh,
yeah.
That's great.
It was very cool.
I'm so jealous.
So let's go ahead and get into the episode. So we open with Kate 4 weeks earlier in her car, and it looks like she got a mixtape from the orphans.
Yeah.
And she kind of takes it out on this motorcycle gang that's nearby, thinking they know who the benefactor is, but it turns out they don't.
I feel like they were also hunters.
Yeah.
I feel like they
were. Very good.
Yeah. I think they were also, I think they were like part of, oh my goodness.
The benefactor's crew. I mean,
I was going to say Oriah's crew.
Well, they're assassins that are sent like the benefactor.
Yeah.
I think is what they're supposed to be.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah,
I mean, they were obviously
somebody.
After her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So then we go back to the school with Scott and Argent and we find out that the police is looking for Garrett, and Scott's dad comes in. He's like, "I'm sorry, I wasn't there the other day." And he somehow really knows about the orphans. This is all, like, very mysterious.
Very,
like,
very
why
fishy.
Wasn't he at home? Like, he moved there to be with him, and he hasn't been really helping out with the case. Like, where has he been the past few days?
Mm-hmm.
And how did he already know about the orphans?
Yeah, and what about the reaction to her weapon?
Yeah, I'm thinking that he has something to do with all of this.
Mm-hmm.
It would make sense, because he's, like, the character that we know the least about at this point. And when he comes in, it's, like, very mysterious.
Yeah.
So I'm suspecting him.
But I wonder if he's after the benefactor, you know, and he just doesn't want everybody else to, like, there's like a gap there. Like, he doesn't know that they know, and they don't know that he knows,
right?
But they're all going after the same person.
Wow, that's really cool that you that's funny. I because the dad, he kind of comes and goes a lot, and I'm trying to remember if he comes back.
Oh.
I guess I can't say.
Oh my God, you're such a great guest. I'm so glad to have you here.
Oh, wow, they found my picture.
Oh my,
thank you, Steven.
That's so amazing.
Yes, that was at the Teen Wolf booth.
You
they
should
turned
be
me
in
into
Twilight. You look like a vampire.
Why? Doesn't because I'm
like
pale?
Yeah, you would need to see a growl, though. Where are your teeth?
I know. You're too pretty. You're too pretty to be a werewolf. You know what I mean? You're
Thanks.
Too, like, classy and pretty to be a werewolf. You need to have, like, more of an animalistic pose.
I mean, that's all I had at the time. That's me as a teen wolfie.
I love it. You look amazing.
You could be on the show.
Let Jeff know.
Yeah, seriously.
I'm up for it. I can wear the contacts. My teeth are already kind of sharp. Just saying. So then we find that Scott finds this bag of money but he tells Liam that he didn't find anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, I'm going to skip ahead a little bit, we see him counting the money with Stiles, and whenever Melissa was kind of looking over her bills and the fact that the electricity was going to be turned off, he had this money under his bed, and he still hadn't given it back.
Yeah.
And then we see that he did tell Stiles about it, and they're counting it in the end, and that's when they find another mixtape. So I'm excited to hear what exactly is on these mixtapes, because it's, you know, one that Kate received too, and now they got one, but it was in Garrett's bag, so maybe that was a tape that he was giving to someone.
Maybe the benefactor sent it to Garrett.
That's a good point.
Or maybe the benefactor was sending it to Scott.
Yeah, that could somebody. Be. Maybe he would. He knew that Scott would get the money. Right, so right, I'm right. really excited to hear that tape.
Yeah, it's really interesting because, like, everybody's having money troubles. Yeah. Like, Lydia, Styles, Scott now.
Jeff said that he wanted to do that because he wanted to take us back in time when people had human struggles. Yes. And money is definitely a human struggle. Yeah, and absolutely. He wanted to make the supernatural villain this season more human. And so mm-hmm. he wanted to implement those human struggles.
Mm-hmm.
And we're definitely getting that, and I'm excited mm-hmm. about that because he said, you know, humans can be just as scary as these supernatural creatures, and yeah. I think they're almost scarier.
Right. We're getting a lot more weapons, too, a lot more, like, you know, regular,
wire,
you know,
yeah.
well, like also regular guns and stuff like that,
right,
you know, stuff
right.
that is more humanized.
Totally, totally.
So, June, do you think that Scott's going to give some money to his mom for the bills and to Styles for his bills at Eichen House and to Lydia? Or what do you think he's going to do with this money?
I mean, like, versus what? Give it to Peter? Like, who is...
I mean, he could turn it in. It's police evidence. I mean, that's the good guy thing to do. That's like the Scott McCall thing to do is turn it in.
Why hasn't he done it yet? Why
exactly.
hasn't he done the thing yet?
Exactly.
I don't know. I don't think it's quite that simple to say that is a good thing to do because he has responsibilities. He has a pack to take care of. He has Styles, Lydia, and his mom. You know, these are his family members. You know what I mean?
But I feel like he's very moral and he knows in his heart that you're supposed to turn the money in. Everyone knows you're supposed to turn the money in. But mm-hmm. obviously, I like that we're getting this struggle because mm-hmm. that's a struggle we all go through. We want to stay moral, but then we've got issues at home that kind of ask us to question our judgment sometimes and sure. maybe struggle with our values. And we're tempted to do things that we wouldn't normally, but out of necessity kind of changes us, like the
yeah.
whole Breaking Bad, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think also it's a statement also, though, about, you know, he really is the hero, you know? And, mm-hmm. like, when you see a hero, like, falter, it's much more interesting. And if he's, like,
right.
squeaky clean all the time.
Exactly.
And so I think you see a lot of that internal struggle. And Tyler also is such a, you know, they've all grown as actors.
Mm-hmm.
To me, even, like, doing, like, 36 episodes with him, I mean, he seems much more mature.
Yes.
Right.
Really cool.
So then we get to see where Liam and Mason are out for a run, and Liam actually gets kidnapped by Garrett. And Garrett does this because he wants Scott to help him get Violet back, his girlfriend, and return his money.
Yeah.
But that doesn't go so well. We see that the berserkers actually get to the vehicle containing Violet and Stilinski and Scott's father before they do. And Kate
yeah.
and the berserkers take Violet.
I know. Why do you think that is? Because she knew that they were hunting her?
Yeah, of
That's
course,
true.
Because
okay.
of the mixtape. And the motorcycle gang told her that the orphans were
right.
after her.
That's true. That's
bait.
True.
She's bait.
Right.
Yeah.
She's bait.
Yeah, she's definitely bait in that situation. And so then we go to, you know, Liam was actually struggling to get out of the well. And can you talk about the well scene?
Oh.
So the well, here's a little bit of history on the well.
Okay.
Is it the same well from The Ring?
How did you know?
Because I had this creepy,
Are you serious?
Creepy,
How
it
did
is?
You know that?
I had this super creepy, I'm getting chills just thinking about it.
Oh, my God.
I hated The Ring. And like,
oh, my God.
Because it was scary, right?
Yes, but it was just so, and like, I kind of have like a photographic-ish memory.
Wow, that's
so
pretty
like,
great.
So it is from The Ring.
It
that
is.
Well,
what happened was Universal Studios was, they were throwing out their scene doc. And
wow.
And it's very famous, very sad that it was mm-hmm. all going. And I told the producers, I said, look, they got some really great, scary stuff. Please let me, you know, go there and, like, spend some money. And I found the well, and I was like, we got to have this well. And there was no scene written. This was all during the third season.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to get a crane. We had to get a special truck. We couldn't move the thing. Everybody hated it. They made so much fun of the thing. And then it finally showed up in the script, and we're like, yes, the well. And I thought because it was The Ring and it would be scary that it would had some kind of karma.
Why did everyone make fun of it? I think it did great in the scene. Why were they making fun of it at first?
It's very hard to move around.
Oh, okay.
It's really big and it's really heavy.
Yeah.
It's a crane every time we move it. You have to get like a big piece of machinery, and then we had to put it in water.
Yeah.
Which is
I heard
even
you bought
better.
A kiddie pool,
we
right?
We bought a kiddie pool. Wow, you guys know everything. This is great.
We try.
We're fans. So. But I mean, like, I think it worked. I think you're right. I think it did have a energetic thing, a connection.
Yeah, an energy about it.
I felt it. It was creepy, and I felt sad for Liam.
Yeah. Was Dylan, like, nervous about working in this well? Did he find it scary at all?
He's great. I just want to say, that kid is an amazing actor. And also, he had to wear a wetsuit because you had to be out there, and it had to be nighttime because we had to shoot it night for night because it was too big to cover.
I heard the water was warm, though. It wasn't cold.
We did keep it warm. But but still, as an actor, you know, they put up with so much. And they, when you're in the water for, like, 12 hours, that gets really old.
He had to be all pruny, right?
Yes.
I didn't see that in the shots, but he had to have been. I saw him whenever they were shooting him, the falling down. So they were shooting him on, like, the green screen. That was so cool.
Right. Yeah, we extended it. We actually, there are, I don't know how many shots there are, but it was very meticulously storyboarded by Russell Mulcahy, actually. He was like, I want this shot this way and this shot that way. And we actually, for the scene where he falls back in the water, we built a miniature top. So it's, like, much smaller, so it looks like it's, like, 40 feet away from you.
Oh, I see. That's really cool. See these little tricks and tips.
Well, we couldn't do a digital effect under the water. Otherwise, what you'd have to do is you'd have to digitally put the water in and then have him fall on that. So we really put a camera under the water and shot it practically.
Wow.
That's really cool. Well, we loved that scene. I'm glad you bought the well.
And the top part of it was really great. It's only 2 feet tall. And we put it out in a field out in Topanga.
That is
so when
so
he
funny.
Crawls out, he's totally acting like he's like climbing up out of the thing.
It's but it's really only like a 2 feet
hole.
Oh my god,
that
is so funny.
He totally sells it.
He's a great actor.
Of course, we get that shot in the end where he's about to fall and he's been poisoned by the Wolfbane, and so he can barely hang on, and he growls, and Scott hears him and he comes for him and he saves him.
Right.
That was a great moment. Another great shot of the well. So then we see Argent and Scott team up because they want to go get Violet so that they could figure out where Liam was to begin with. And so they find Kate and the Berserkers. And, of course, this is Argent's sister.
So sad.
Yeah, so we don't think that they're going to fight, but Argent kind of goes berserkers on the berserkers.
Right.
Like, he just cannot stop firing. And I think that's, you know, the fact that he's lost so much, his daughter and his wife.
Well, he's angry.
Yeah. And you know, this shit is not how he should be encountering Kate. Like, she should be coming to be by her family member's side, not fighting him off. But in the end, we do see that she stops at the berserkers from actually killing him.
They seem to have some kind of sibling issue.
So, they do.
Yeah, they do.
There could be
they
something
have...
buried deep there.
There is.
I hope that we get that family relationship on screen. We have six more episodes. We're halfway through it. Yeah. So
we're only halfway?
Wait, yeah.
Wow. I don't know if you're going to get there, but I just had to say, like, speaking of anger, I thought one of the best lines out of Teen Wolf, like, in any season was that line where they're saying when, you know, a kid is angry, they either take it out on themselves or take it out on other people. And I was just like, oh, wow.
That's just really one of those. Dylan's in the well and he's thinking.
Yeah. And
well, about what his parents said.
Right. Liam is talking about, you know, what his stepfather said, I believe. And this is something that, you know, his stepfather told him is that, like, you know, when kids are angry, they either take it out on themselves or they take it out on others, you know?
Wow.
And that was, that taught me something, you know what I mean? Like, you know, and we talk about that with Teen Wolf all the time.
Lots of anger issues. Lots of anger issues.
Yeah, it doesn't help when you're trying to control that because you will turn into a Teen Wolf. You didn't have to get angry at the Comic-Con booth in order to switch. They just did some photo effects. So then we get, you know, it's very ironic because we get that Argent sort of teaching Scott to be a leader here, but if you remember in season one, he was trying to kill him. So I like that we got that little father-son bonding moment because, again, Scott's father's not really in the picture. He came back to be there for him, but he's not.
I know. Where is he?
Well,
what
now
is he doing?
Right the second he's in the hospital because the berserkers flipped their car.
Right.
Oh, that's right. Well, actually, technically, he got another show.
Oh.
I don't know how much of that I'm supposed to say. No, it's just like, but, you know, it's funny, like television, it's my first sort of venture into television, but things do change along the way, and somehow you have to, like, make accommodations for that.
Yeah. Well, and also MTV is a newer, it's newer in terms of like producing their own things.
Yeah, their own like dramas.
Right. And so, and I've heard that like, there are contractual issues, you know, they can't like afford or not afford, but like they don't have longer contracts for their actors. So their actors, so the actors like do have a choice if they want to move on.
Interesting.
Which is what happened with Allison, of course, you know, but. Mm-hmm.
You yep. guys are really savvy. That's great. That's awesome. Yeah.
Well, I think that we it's safe to say my suspicions are probably then just to, due to the fact that he's on another show. And yeah. he's probably not the one doing all the manipulation behind right. the benefactor. Right. But you never know because never we don't see the benefactor yet.
You know, it would make sense if he's a benefactor yeah. and he gets killed.
And then he's leaving.
And he's leaving.
It would all come together.
You
quite
heard
well.
It first at AfterBuzz TV.
There you go. And if you guys want to call in and contribute to the show, the number here is 424-256-1729. June will be reading some of your comments mm-hmm. later. You can tweet her at Miss June Lee.
Yes,
you can tweet
@MS_JuneLee.
Yes, and you can tweet me at Cinematic Escape. And you can even tweet Rusty. Rusty, let's give a shout out to your Twitter.
Yeah. RoscoeE59.
There you go. And we'll say those again later. Yeah, follow him. Get the latest Teen Wolf news. Okay, so let's go ahead and start talking about whenever Scott finds Violet, she's already, it seems like she's dead. She's yeah. covered in blood. And we
she
saw.
She looks poisoned.
Yeah, and we saw Garrett also. It mm-hmm. looks like she was sort of tortured to death for yeah. information. Ugh. And we saw the Berserkers also kill her boyfriend, Garrett. So yeah. those are two of the orphans who we actually knew were doing the killings are now dead. So I don't know who's going to surface now that's also another orphan, because that's who we knew were the orphans and who we were looking for answers from, and now they're both
that's
dead.
Interesting.
They were orphaned. Yes, they're, yeah, they were, you know, I wanted her decapitated. I drew a great sketch. I'll have to send you a copy of the sketch.
Yes,
because I thought that she should die the same way that she kept killing people, but it was a little complicated. We have some gore issues that we have to be very careful about.
Yeah. I can understand that, but yeah, we'd love to see that sketch. We'll tweet it out to the fans.
Now that I think about it, I feel like, I don't know, I just feel like the way that Papa McCall, you know, Scott's dad was kind of twisting it in her that she was an orphan. Like, I thought that was very kind of odd and strange. And, like, would a father do that to a kid?
Well, I think she has a pretty serious criminal record. And you get the impression also that he's been looking for them.
Yeah.
I think.
Because she's been doing other things.
Exactly. Well, she's been killing everyone.
In other towns?
Other towns, but not necessarily supernaturals. Actually, that's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. They didn't talk about that. But so we find that Peter finds Kate, mm-hmm. and he actually tells her, hey, I'll teach you how to control your abilities, but I want power. And I don't exactly know what that means that he wants, but these two have very similar personalities, and I feel like they'd be, like, terrible as a team up. They'd be great as a team up, but also terrible for everybody else because they just don't care.
Yeah, they are very similar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I kind of see them as, like, a power couple because there was a lot of sexual tension going on in that
mm-hmm.
scene.
Mm-hmm.
And when she was like, what do you want? I was like, he's kind of giving her a lot of looks there.
I know, right?
Yeah, but he's been saying he's wanted power for many seasons now. Mm-hmm. And Jeff says that, you know, that plan sort of comes to fruition at the end of the season. So hopefully we'll see just exactly what Peter wants and if he'll get it, or if he'll be changed by finding out he has a daughter, which he still doesn't know yet. Or does he know? It's just Malia doesn't know. He knows he has a daughter.
Yeah, he does.
But Malia doesn't know that he is her father, so maybe.
And he also knows that Malia is his daughter.
Yeah, so.
But she doesn't know.
Exactly. So once we get that.
So
exchange,
that hasn't changed him.
No.
No.
But maybe once they do the father-daughter bonding.
I don't know. Peter is not.
I don't know how much changing Peter's going to get to do.
Yeah.
Maybe Peter's the benefactor.
Yeah, I mean, he could have stolen his own money. What are those insurance claims?
I know, right?
Yeah. So let's talk about Lydia and Styles. It was great to see them on screen again because still Lydia. We just love them as a couple, mm-hmm. and we haven't really seen them on screen a lot together. And mm-hmm. they actually confront Parrish, and they're like, hey, you're actually on this list.
Yeah.
And
do you believe that Parrish doesn't
know? That he doesn't know why he's on the list? He seemed kind of shocked.
There's more to Parrish.
Yeah.
Than one.
Yeah.
Thinks.
Yeah. Definitely.
That's probably all I could say.
Yes.
I think he probably does know. He's a cop for a reason, but I think that he's obviously a good guy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Jacob Slaughter on YouTube said that, you know, Parrish said last season that he felt, quote unquote, drawn to Beacon Hills. You know?
Oh,
there you
good.
Go. So, that's good.
I know. We have the most amazing.
Like
the
a beacon.
Of, yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So they Parrish helps them get to Eichen House to talk to Meredith, and Meredith can't help because she says the benefactor wouldn't want her to. But when she screams, like, Lydia's ears kind of bleed.
I know. Mm-hmm.
That was strange, and I wonder if Lydia will learn that she also has that power to scream so loud that, you know, she makes people's ears bleed. I don't know. And then they were trying to think of all the dead people's names, and they put those in, and it didn't work as the cipher key. And then they thought of maybe people who aren't dead yet.
Yeah.
And they type in Derek's name.
I know.
So
what do you think that means? Because there was a little bit of... Was there a little tension between Derek and Lydia ever? It was Peter.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, if Derek, he's losing his powers because of what Kate did.
Yes.
So he's becoming a human. But then in this episode, we saw Peter claw him very deep. And we know that when Kate was clawed very deep, that's what turned her into a werejaguire. So
well,
I don't
it
know.
Was, it wasn't Kate, it wasn't Peter. It was Liam, wasn't it?
Who?
That clawed Derek.
Is that the scratches on Derek?
Yeah.
Did he heal?
Yeah.
Who did
yeah.
those?
I thought that was Liam. No, I'm sorry. Not Brett. It was Brett.
You think it was Brett when he was holding him down?
Yeah,
that could
and
be.
And then Brett went crazy. Right.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm not sure. Okay, so Brett's part of that other pact, the Buddha pact.
I love that, by the way. I love this whole Buddha pact.
Before
I thought that was so awesome.
Yeah, before we talk about the Buddha pact, though, what do you think's going on with Derek? Do you think since he got clawed, I mean, that's how I thought he could possibly die, because he was losing his powers, becoming human again, so it would make sense that if he maybe died, but then came back, maybe because of the claw marks, he'd be a wolf again, but he died as a human. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't think those claw marks meant that he was dying as a human.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm saying he was a human.
Yeah.
He was becoming human because he's losing his powers.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think the fact that, I mean, we zoomed in on those claw marks for a reason.
Yes. I think it's to show that he was healing. He healed.
I didn't see that he healed. He healed.
But just barely.
Yeah,
so, yeah, you're
healed.
Right. He's getting weaker.
So,
but
getting
he
weaker.
Couldn't do it.
I think it was more to show that he's healing, but it healed slowly.
Okay. That makes sense. Thank you for clearing that up for me. Okay. So do we think that Derek's going to die?
Well, I mean... I feel like the fact that his...
Rusty can't say
it. I can't say.
I think the fact that his name was... I'm like just trying to...
I feel like they're teasing us because Scott says no one on this list, no one else dies. I'm going to save everyone. So I think that Derek will obviously get in a situation where he could possibly die, but I think Scott will save him because we already got that scene earlier this season where Derek's sort of saying to Scott, you know, you're doing a great job. And
I thought he was saying goodbye.
Yeah, me too.
That's what I thought he was saying when that scene.
Yeah.
I think he's like saying, you know, I know what's coming. And
yeah.
It could be. Like, could have been a goodbye scene.
Like Allison and her dad, you know what I mean? We've had, I feel like we've kind of had that happen when people are leaving the show. Like,
we get that last scene.
Yeah, exactly. You get that last scene, you know. And that scene felt heavy to me. That scene felt, I felt something in that scene. So.
Oh, the scene with Derek and Scott?
Yeah.
You're right. That was a really good scene.
Tyler Hoechlin said that that was like maybe one of his favorite scenes he's ever shot. He said that at Comic-Con.
It showed, yeah.
So we get the lower third of this list, and we find out that Malia and Meredith is on it. And
of course.
Lydia immediately calls Eichen House, but it's too late, and Meredith has hung herself.
She hung herself?
I know, that's what I was going to ask. Do we think she actually hung herself, or do we think that's, you know, the benefactor or someone else?
Oh, by the way, Aaron Hendry,
yes.
So
the doctor
awesome.
At Eichen House. Aaron Hendry.
What's his name? Brunsky?
Brunsky. Dr. Brunsky.
Oh, him. Oh, Aaron. Aaron's awesome.
What if he's the benefactor? I know. He's such a brilliant actor.
But he's a really good, skeezy, bad
guy. Such a good guy.
Yeah.
What if he's the benefactor?
He could be. He's coming on, I think, 409. So in 3 weeks, we'll have him on our show.
Maybe he's Lenny Kitsune.
I know. But
you know
like,
that, right?
Yes,
you know
yes, we do know that.
Yeah, he was in Nogitsune.
What if he was
but we never
so
saw his face as the Nogitsune.
Yeah.
So he could play another bad guy.
Yeah.
He played an awesome bad guy.
But because I feel like because if Meredith didn't hang herself, it had to have been somebody inside Eichenhaus, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's like, a good call.
Yeah.
Well, it is a dangerous place. It's our Arkham Asylum. And we did see a hanging there. Styles did the very first time he went in there.
Yeah. That's
so,
true.
Happens a lot.
Yeah.
That's true. So then we also find out that Malia's on this list, which she was the only one up to this point that really wasn't.
Yeah.
And now she is. So that's scary because I love her and I don't want her to go anywhere. But I don't think this is going to frighten her either.
I don't think she's going anywhere.
No. So we saw that Brett was poisoned in the beginning, and I like how like Deaton kind of cuts open their chest to let the poison out.
That's a cool thing. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
really cool. And then
Pulp Fiction.
Yeah. And so we get this Pulp Fiction with the adrenaline needle. Yes. That's my favorite part. It's really hard to watch, but it's like, whoa, right? Don't do drugs, guys.
Seriously, don't do drugs.
If you're thinking about doing drugs, go watch Pulp Fiction. I don't care how old you are. That'll stop you from doing drugs ever. So let's talk about Satomi. She's coming back. And she was the love story from last season, and she was a Buddhist, and it seems like she's sort of the leader of this pack who's teaching them the mantra that helps that pack control their shifting.
Wait, what do you mean the love story?
Well, she was the one who sort of threw the fire. Do you remember last season?
At Reese. But, it wasn't because she was in love with them. It was because she was angry at the white, the Americans.
Yeah, I just meant that. For some reason, when I think of Reese, I just think of the love story.
Yeah, but that was with, Kira's mom.
Yeah, Kira's mom.
Yeah.
Satomi burns him.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
She's the one that throws the
alcohol bottle.
One of my favorite episodes. That flashback episode.
So that was amazing.
Did you work on that set?
Mm-hmm.
It was such a great set.
Bit of trivia.
Yes, please.
The sewer set where Kate meets Peter is actually the World War II tunnel. Where they are having the sword fight.
Yeah.
That was our set piece from that.
Yeah,
That's really cool. That makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. So if bitten, you must learn control. But if you're born a werewolf, then I guess you already know how to control it more so, is what they were saying.
Well,
but
doesn't he have the Triskelet and he's trying to learn how to control it in the thing?
Yeah.
And he says, why can't I? Because I was born. And he says something. So what's implied in that is that Derek was born a werewolf, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, that, you know, it's funny. I when I first read that, I thought, we've never really addressed that. that all these people were bitten, but not the Hales. So how do you get born a werewolf? Do you have to have werewolf babies? you have to be like a werewolf mating with a werewolf. I don't know. I'm just speculating.
We did see his mom. We saw his mom in the early stages as like a full werewolf.
Oh, the wolf day.
Yes.
That was a great day, too. The wolf is the real wolves are amazing.
Really? What's it like to work with them on set?
They're frightening looking, but they are very well trained.
Wow.
No, you can tell. This Buddha pack, they don't want to be found, but then when we do find them, they're sort of all dead, it looks like. And Brayden is the only one that sticks her arm up out of this pack that's at the lookout where they were all hiding. So why was Brayden there, do you think?
I was just going to ask you that question. maybe she killed them all. Maybe Brayden's a benefactor.
No. She would do anything for money. She said that early on.
Yeah, and there are some people online who have talked about Brayden being the benefactor.
I mean, it could be because we see, they're all dead, but maybe she poisoned them, but they also attacked her in the process. So, she could be the benefactor, maybe. Mm. Or she could be someone working now for the benefactor because it looks like she just takes job for job, whoever will pay her the most. So if the benefactor is shooting out all these millions of dollars, maybe she's like, I'll kill a pack of werewolves for millions of dollars. So maybe she was there.
And what was she doing there? Why is she there? I saw that scene and because we were, frantically trying to sort of get the woods set up and get ready for the mat shot. But I'd forgotten that that's how he finds her. That's how they hook up, isn't it?
Yeah. That is. So I want to get into a little interview with you before we talk about our predictions. So I believe I asked you last time, but just to remind the fans, what was it from your childhood that led you, do you think, into becoming a production designer? Were you setting up scenes with your friends when you were younger and sort of doing films and stuff like that? Did you work on plays? What do you think it was?
I draw. I've been drawing all my life, and that's how I... I'll show you.
Oh!
This would be fun.
Oh,
yay! But this is...
You just carry that with you?
Yeah. What do I have in here? Oh, well, these are... These are for something else. They're ships. But I usually keep a sketchbook for all the Teen Wolf stuff. And
that's really cool.
I didn't know what to do with that. I thought maybe I would, how can anybody really grow up and be a painter or be an artist? And what I wanted to do was draw comic books. I wanted to move to New York and draw Spider-Man. And I actually wrote Stan Lee when I was a teenager, and he wrote me this really nice letter, which I wish to God I could find. And he
what
said,
did it say?
It said, when you grow up, kid, come to New York, and we'll see what we can do for you.
How old were you when you wrote this to him?
I was 13, I think.
Did you send him, some of your work at that point?
I did, of course I did. I sent him Spider-Man and James Bond, and I liked monsters. I grew up, loving werewolves, and or The Wolfman was actually one of my favorite movies.
So did you end up contacting him when you were of age?
Did you go back?
No, I didn't. What happened was I got bitten by the acting bug when I was in high school. So I wanted to be an actor, and I got involved in theater, and I studied theater. And then I had a teacher who said, you could be a designer, but I cannot tell you that about your acting. Yeah, it was hard, but, sometimes that's hard to hear.
Have you met Stan Lee since?
No, I have not, but
I feel like this meeting needs to happen.
I know, too.
That would be awesome.
Do you still want to draw comics?
Oh, I do, yes. Actually, I would love to write a graphic novel, but I have tried, and I've tried to start it, and that takes serious commitment. I mean, you have to sit at the table 10 or 12 hours a day.
Wow.
And those guys who draw the comics are just there. Now there's so much talent and there's so much wonderful stuff out there. And I would like to visit that again, but it would probably be, I don't know, Alan Moore is like one of my heroes. And so if you look at, anything from Watchmen to From Hell, you ever seen From Hell?
No. I don't think I have. I'll write it down.
From Hell? You've never seen From Hell? With Johnny Depp? Oh, you got to check it out.
Okay, I'm writing it down right now. It's on my to-do list.
but then in graduate school, I had a production designer come and visit the school. And I thought...
And where did you go to graduate school?
I went to Yale School of Drama.
So
it wasn't my grades, man. I'm telling you.
So you didn't listen to the acting teacher and you went for an MFA at Yale anyway.
I did, but in design.
I see. Okay.
Right. But there was no program for film. So I moved to New York, and I lived in New York for a while, and I got on a show, and the show came to L.A.,
And you did, too.
I just stayed, yes. So I've been here for a while.
What show was that, the first show that you were working on?
Digstown. It's a boxing movie with Lou Gossett and James Woods.
Oh, nice.
Didn't do very well at the box office, but I'm very proud of it.
Yeah, you should be. And hey, you're in L.A.
Exactly.
It got you to where you are.
It got you to L.A.
So what's one of your favorite memories on set so far?
Oh, my favorite memory was the lake house.
Such a beautiful scene.
I storyboarded the little scene where he's picking the music. I forget what it is, the AT&T program or something, that he's choosing the song and they're dancing. And when I first, when the lake house came up, we were trying to figure out how to do it. And my construction coordinator found a pond liner. And what it is a giant 40-foot by 50-foot piece of rubber that you put down in a field and you can make an instant pond.
Right.
So we built a pond on stage, which is only 6 inches deep.
Yeah, like 6 inches deep.
But Russell, the director, when I first pitched it to him, he said, oh, man, if it were the music video and it were the 80s, I'd do it in a heartbeat, but I just don't know. And I walked onto set and he set up the moon and he set it right behind them and made it like massive in the front and then shot right into it. And the moon was like a 4 foot, you know, plastic cutout that we hung up on a string and we shot a light onto. And it, you know,
it looked gorgeous.
It's such a great moment with them.
So realistic.
I'm very proud of that. So.
It was kind of like a music video out of the 80s, kind of had that feel to it.
The whole show has that style.
Yeah.
You know. I love it.
Oh, yes. And a lot of that, I think a lot of that comes from Russell. He has a big influence on that.
Mm-hmm. We love Russell. He's been on here a few times with us.
Oh,
yeah.
He's awesome.
Everyone's awesome.
You guys are all so cool.
Yeah.
It is the coolest group of people I have ever worked with.
Yeah, that's what everybody says. That's what everybody says.
All of them.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, how does MTV, how does Jeff, who is it that attracts all these amazing people?
I think
people?
Jeff is such a nice person, you know, you know, these people definitely want to gravitate. He's a beacon for good people.
He's a beacon for good people, yes.
So are you working on other projects right now, like side projects or something else that you can tell us about?
Well, I can tell you I just got the Scream pilot.
Wow. So you're going to be production designing for the Scream pilot.
Mm-hmm.
That's
MTV.
Very cool. I hope that gets picked up. That'd be so cool.
It will be very interesting. You know, it's very exciting. Like, you know, it's all still very formative and early on, but there's nothing like it on television.
Right.
I mean, there's sort of, I guess maybe Hannibal or you get like Bates Motel, but there's no slasher TV show.
Right.
That's true.
Really cool.
Oh, my gosh. I'd be so scared to watch it.
Yeah, I would.
It should be ultra scary, too. It's got to be.
Especially with you as the production designer. Let's go ahead and roll into predictions.
Ooh.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
What's a prediction?
Well, it seems like next week they're quarantined at the high school. It seems like they're infected. The coach has some sort of infection.
Mm.
And the Lydia's mom kind of shuts down the high school and they all are quarantined in there until they can figure out what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Lydia, I think it's Stilinski that asks Lydia, is someone going to die? And she's like, yes. So
what?
Yeah.
Wait, say that again?
Stilinski asks Lydia if someone's going to die because she's a banshee and she can predict death, and she said yes. So apparently someone's going to die next week.
Lydia is hardly ever wrong.
Do you think it's Derek?
I hope not, but the coach is in there. He's the one that's, like, passed out on the desk.
What if infected?
You can't kill the coach, though.
I know. I don't want to. I want him to be a werewolf. Wouldn't that just be amazing? He'd be, like, the most comical werewolf around.
Is he getting sick because he's supernatural?
Maybe.
What if Derek gets sick from the disease and because he's becoming a human, like
there
his immune system is just so susceptible?
Could be.
Like, he dies. Not actually from a supernatural death, but just
a human, real human death.
I think that would make sense.
That would be cool.
How sad, though.
Yeah, that'd be really sad.
That'd be so sad.
I mean, Scott says he's not going to let anybody else die, so I think he'll find a way to save everyone, like he says.
Okay.
Jeff said that Stiles and Malia have a rocky road ahead because of a secret about Malia's parents. So I think we're going to find out who Malia's mother is maybe later on this season. And what do you think? Do you have any other predictions, June?
Well, Jackie Campbell on YouTube also said that possibly Deucalion could be the benefactor. I thought that was very interesting because we know him and, like, you know, he got his sight back. He kind of went
like
away.
After he got his sight back, he was, like, peaceful again and a great hippie guy that we saw he was back in the day. So I don't like that.
Okay, fine.
Oh, you don't like him being the benefactor?
No.
Scratch that.
I like the fact that now that he can see again, he kind of understands the world and is at peace.
He's got his own Buddha pack.
I'd be fine with that. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Rusty.
This has been
so much fun. We still have to come on set and visit you, so let me know.
Yes, you do.
Yes, when you guys start up again, because I don't want to get spoiled, like any spoilers. So if we could come maybe like the first day, we won't get any spoils that way. So let us know. Thanks, you guys, for tuning in. You can find me at Cinematic Escape on Twitter, or Cinematic Escape is my blog. June, where can we find you?
You guys can find me at Miss_June Lee, and you guys can also check out my blog, Amaze, AMAZ TV.
And where can we follow you, Rusty? I know we gave a shout-out to your Twitter earlier.
The Twitter, RoscoeE59, but also my website, RustySmith.biz.
Nice. Awesome. I like that. Thanks, you guys. Have a great week, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.